Ever notice how feline family members take a back seat to dogs by most pet insurance companies? Yeah, that chafes me. Cats have feelings too, and it's just wrong. But hold your horses. I got some good news here. FelixCatInsurance.com is doing something about it. They call it whisker-to-tail protection. Because, look, our cats don't actually have nine lives, and accidents and things can happen anytime. Felix Cat Insurance has plan options for cats of all ages, and it covers accidents, illnesses, emergency care, and more. Best part? Plans start at under $1 per day. Customizable coverage exclusively for felines. FelixCatInsurance.com. No dogs allowed. Well, hold up. This ain't over yet. Roll that legal stuff.
Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. For all terms and limitations, visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
It's that time of the week again? Wow, it comes quickly. After a Sunday like the one that we have just experienced, where it is an all-out blitz. It's nonstop football from Germany to Baltimore to Philadelphia to Cincinnati. And those are just the marquee games that we put in the after hours game of the week poll. Maybe the best game of the weekend was in Houston. Not to mention some of the road warriors that we saw this weekend. Cleveland, Green Bay, all hosting important games as we hit the midway point. I love what we saw on Sunday, but man, have you noticed? Have you been keeping track the number of backup quarterbacks that are starting in the NFL right now, and the number of rookies that we've seen under center or behind the line in the NFL so far this season? One stands above the rest, and we will talk about him coming up. We are definitely seeing few teams flex their muscles and raise their level of play against the best competition. Dolphins and Chiefs. We're going to get to that game coming up, but that was the one you selected as the game of the week in our poll. Interesting, too, because they used very different strategies when it came to navigating travel to Europe. One of the matchups among two of the best teams in the NFL. And while it was lopsided early, it ended up being a tantalizing finish. But then you think battle of first place teams that goes AFC, NFC, and the Ravens were unchallenged. Think about the Ravens' wins over the Lions and the Seahawks now. The defense is unheralded. In each of those games, and then throw in Bengals, Bills as well. We still have the starting quarterbacks. We still have Patrick Mahomes and Tua, which is awesome considering what he had to go through last season. We still have Geno Smith, Lamar Jackson, and then Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. Not that these guys aren't dealing with various bumps and bruises, certainly navigating aches and pains. And we could put Cowboys, Eagles in that category as well. Another game that went down to the wire. The phrase that you'll hear over and over from the Cowboys is a game of inches. And man, there are a few inches go in Dallas's direction, and that's a different outcome. But they still have their starting quarterbacks as well. Dak and Jalen. But then around the league now, and this is really one of the factors in determining the front runners, in seeing the strongest teams break out and create some separation a little bit. They've got their starting quarterbacks. In each of the four divisions in the AFC, the starters are still leading the charge. Even in the AFC North, where every team is above 500, now that Deshaun Watson is back, all four starting quarterbacks, at least the starters that were beginning the season, the starters that were expected to maintain those roles all the way through. Jacksonville's off this weekend, but yeah, Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes for sure. Around those teams, the best teams in the AFC, you've got all kinds of quarterback chaos. It's never as simple as the quarterback winning or the quarterback losing or the QB is great or he sucks and that's why a team is successful or not. But you certainly have a hell of a lot of better opportunity and you can separate yourself from the pack if your quarterback can stay healthy, stay on the field. And if you've got a top flight elite quarterback, even more critical for your success. And then shifting to the NFC, same thing. Talked about Eagles and Cowboys, two of the top teams in the division. Jared Goff still standing for the Lions, even though we know they're on a bye this weekend. It's a good way to not get your quarterback hurt is to not play. Brock Purdy, halfway through, still standing for the San Francisco 49ers, though they've dropped three in a row. We'll see them again next week. Derek Carr's back on the field, the leaders in the NFC South, the Saints. A lot of the other teams, not all of them, but a lot of the other teams in the NFC and the AFC that are scuffling along, that are still inconsistent, or that right now wouldn't talk playoffs if they got paid a whole lot of money because it just sounds ludicrous. Those are the teams that are dealing with QB changes. Those are the teams that are dealing with the loss of their starters. So there's a clear line of demarcation. And maybe that's what the 2023 season is about. It's always about, can you stay healthy? Which teams have the greatest health, but also which teams have the most depth behind their guys who get hurt? Buffalo's dealing with a ton of injuries around Josh Allen, even though he's still upright and playing. All of these quarterback injuries are starting to take a toll. Though, I will say, it gives us some freaking cool storylines like Josh Dobbs not practicing even one time with the Vikings and leading them to a come-from-behind victory. Amazing. I love the attitude he brings to the table and how he and Kevin O'Connell had to work together just to get plays on the field. Not one snap in practice. Not one. Shades of Baker Mayfield with the Rams last year. Baker would love to have that spirit. Man, he's got quite the mush on him these days on the sidelines. He is supremely unhappy. Oh, that's your old team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, though they could actually use Baker Mayfield right now.
Hey, I'm happy to be home, man.
Stop it. That was old. What have you done for me lately? Thanks for hanging out with us on a Sunday night. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll have your Monday MVP poll up before long. And within the half hour, we will head to Cincinnati to talk Bengals and Bills with Mike Petralia. He's a Bengals insider, has the Jungle Roar podcast that can be found on his Twitter or on YouTube. I'm toying with the idea of a good, bad, and ugly show question tonight because we do that, but maybe we'll wait until tomorrow night. Just because we do it once a year I want to make sure we're in a good space. There's so much to get to tonight, though. Did you feel a void with no baseball? First time in a while. Well, months and months. But first time in a while we haven't had playoff baseball. NFL, college football, full speed ahead. So again, find me on Twitter or on Facebook. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Raise your hand if you thought we were going to get a track meet between the Bengals and the Bills after they started with three straight touchdown drives.
Burrow back at the 12, catches the snap, short drop, throws it into the back left corner of the end zone.
Boom.
Caught by Irv Smith Jr. Yeah. His first touchdown as a Cincinnati Bengal, and the Bengals are on the scoreboard first. Joe has the ball. Under pressure, dumps it off short, caught. Drew Sample has a first down to the 10, the 5, toward the pylon.
Nice.
He's in. Touchdown.
Beautiful.
Bengals, Drew Sample catching a short pass from Joe Burrow and doing the rest on a 22-yard TD.
With a hurdle. Did you notice a tight end theme for the Bengals offense? It was there, and it was woven throughout the game. Dan Hoare, Dave Lapham on Bengals radio mixed in a Josh Allen rushing touchdown. So yeah, before you could blink there in the first quarter, there was already 21 points on the board. Now, it definitely got quieter in the second quarter. A bunch of punts. Josh throws an interception. He was firing high and just off on some of his longer throws until later in the game. Buffalo has a three and out late in the first half, which gives the Bengals a short field. And that leads to the Drew Sample touchdown. So this was a fun first half on those scoring drives. And the Bengals were able to keep the ball for extended periods of time. And that certainly helps when you're trying to wear down that Bills defense. So it's 21-10 in the third quarter. And Dalton Kincaid coughs up the ball. Critical turnover for the Buffalo Bills, though Cincinnati has to settle for a field goal. Those points were crucial, though. And actually, the Bengals, they had several snaps inside the 10 and could not get the ball into the end zone. So it was a strong hold there by the Bills' defense. But the points themselves mattered. So it was 24-10, middle of the fourth quarter, when you see the Bills start to heat up. And there's always the possibility that they can do this. There's always a possibility they can put points on the board in bunches. And they're spreading the ball around on the next drive. There's that sense of urgency. Allen's locked in. And there's a lot of pace to this drive as well. And even though he was using a variety of receivers, he had to come back to old reliable.
This is a clock-burning drive for sure. 3:40 left. Allen in the shotgun. Shakir in motion right to left. Takes the snap, looking left. Now back to the right. Into the end zone to Diggs for the touchdown. It's a 17-yard touchdown reception. Can you dig it? And the Bills are going to go for two.
That's Chris Brown on Bills radio. And then the two-point conversion, which was also caught by Stephon in the back of the end zone. This might have been the most replayed moment of the entire game. I think NBC gave us 7 or 8 replays. And here's the crazy part. Not one of them featured Diggs colliding with a security guard and the two of them going down in a heap. So you may have seen after the initial touchdown, so not replays, but after the touchdown, the camera pans to the back of the end zone, of course, and Diggs is tangled up with a security guard who, granted, he was standing wrong place, wrong time, but he couldn't have seen Diggs because they generally face the crowd. So he was more about crowd control. And he and Diggs get tangled up and their teammates are coming in, or his teammates are coming in and try to stand him up and help the security guard. 7 replays later, they don't show that collision. Do you think that was a concerted effort to prevent the poor security guard from being embarrassed? I felt bad for him. It had to be a total shock when Diggs rolls up on the back of his legs. Are you watching it, Jay?
Oh, yeah.
Poor guy goes down, and I mean, it was a thunderous drop. He's a large bodyguard type shape. They never showed it again. But actually was worried a little bit about Diggs because he's so slight and the bodyguard is so big. Yeah, big guy.
Went down like a ton of bricks.
He did. He toppled hard. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Though we did see the left and right feet come down for Diggs over and over. Brilliant. Body control and awareness. And sometimes I wonder when these guys actually last check out. Where the end line is, where their feet are. I mean, there's so much to take in right there, not to mention the defense who's trailing him from behind. And it didn't seem like he looked in that moment. He just knew it's thousands and thousands of reps. It was sweet to see him with the 2 feet bang, bang before he took out the security guard. So Buffalo was able to pull within a couple of points there. And as I say, they get the 2-point conversion. And really, Josh is able to get to Stephon Diggs and find him because he was spreading the ball around and the Bengals defense had to be mindful of the other receivers. So then Cincinnati has the ball back and the very first snap. So the first down, there's a deep shot to Tyler Boyd. I think it was 32 yards. Correct me if I'm wrong, but something like that, 30, 32 yards. And after that one shot, they're trying to run out the clock. So it's Joe Mixon. It's Joe Mixon. It's Joe Mixon. And they're just trying to keep the ball away from the Bills.
Burrow in the gun. Mixon to his right. Chase out to the left. Boyd and Higgins out to the right. Drew Sample out to the right as well. Joe Burrow hands on hips. Eyeballing the defense. Buffalo showing pressure up the middle. The Bengals hand it to Mixon. Gets away from an ankle tackle. Running toward the first down marker. He's got it.
Wow.
And that is coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam.
These are the stages they want to be on. They don't shy away from them. That confidence is earned confidence. It's not anything phony to try to present themselves as if they're ready for these games. They've worked for it, and they trust not only themselves, but they trust their teammates.
9 games left, so we're 5-3 right now. We're in a great spot. We just got to continue to get better. Really happy with how we played the last couple weeks. We got to keep it going. And we were 1-0 this week. We got to be 1-0 next week, too. This week means nothing. We'll come in tomorrow, watch the tape, lift, go about our business. We'll go from there.
Couple of streaks to note about the Bengals. As you hear Joe Burrow, he's not nonchalant. He was fired up on the field, just trying to take it all in stride. They've won 4 games in a row. So when I talk to Mike Petralia after the update at the bottom of the hour, I'll ask him, what was the turning point? How did the Bengals get their groove back? Like Stella. You know, my pop culture references, a lot of them come from the 90s, the 80s and the 90s. We did the whole Calgon Take Me Away, and that was, I guess, Friday morning. And the number of tweets and Facebook posts I got from people about Calgon Take Me Away. Take me away. I could have used that over the weekend. Anyway, for those of you who know Stella and how she got her groove back, that's what the Bengals are doing right now. So that's one streak, 4 wins in a row. But they also have 5 consecutive wins over the Bills. How big is that? And I don't know that it's psychological for Buffalo, but it certainly is a confidence boost for the Bengals that no matter where these games are, right now, they've got a formula that wins against one of the other top teams in the AFC. So Burrow has 348 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Josh Allen also into the end zone a couple of times, passing, rushing, and throws a first half pick.
We had our opportunities, didn't score before half, didn't get 6 on the first drive of the second half. That's not complimentary football, you know. You got to double dip and get the points there and give yourself a chance. And, you know, and it's the old cliche, in order to win, you got to stop yourself from losing, and we didn't do that tonight.
We got off to a really good start in a rhythm, and then after that it was tough sledding. And so that can't happen, right? I mean, against a good football team that scores, that's known for scoring points, and a good quarterback, you got to be able to score points, and we didn't do it enough.
You wouldn't think of the Bengals as a team that excels in time of possession, but they did that tonight against Buffalo. Plus 13 minutes with the football. And that's huge. If you can keep Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and some of the others on the sidelines, that's a big deal. Then you factor in they win the turnover battle. So the Bengals are turnover free. The Bills turn it over twice. A couple of wasted possessions there. Yeah, it started out like a shootout. Didn't end that way. It got a lot grittier. But the Bengals can win that way too. So after the update, we'll head to Cincinnati. Talk about the Bengals at the midway point of the season. Now 5-3, as are two other teams in the AFC North, the Browns and Steelers, and they're all looking up at the Ravens in that division. Man, every single team in that division is at least two games above 500. That is tough sledding. Straight ahead, though, we'll try to work in a few minutes for Cowboys and Eagles, because this was another one of the candidates for Game of the Week, and it always lives up to the billing when these two teams get on the same field, this time in Philadelphia. No love lost. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too. We're glad to connect with you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports.
Get the best workout with the best-kept secret in fitness. Hydro, the state-of-the-art at-home rower. Hydro engages 86% of your muscles, delivering the ultimate full-body workout in just 20 minutes. From advanced to beginner, Hydro has over 4,000 classes that are shot all over the world and are taught by Olympians and world-class athletes. For a 30-day risk-free trial with free standard shipping, go to Hydro.com and use code FIT500 to save up to $500. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT500.
Let's face the facts. Everyone wants to feel valued, especially your employees. In fact, a 2023 study found 78% of business owners say benefits and retirement plans improve employee retention. Employees want to feel secure in their jobs and their finances. At Principal, we help you invest in your people, because investing in your people is investing in your business. Learn more at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
Commuting to work again? Welcome back. Just breathe and remember, you got this. And the all-new Hyundai Kona is there to help. Class-leading interior space means you can stretch out. Intuitive tech like remote smart parking assist makes parking stress-free. And complimentary BlueLink Plus allows you to set the climate controls remotely. Learn more about the all-new Kona and your best commute ever at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
Radio.
That does it! Oh, God, take me away!
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
First and 10, they're at the Cowboys 29. Hurts back again. He steps up. He's looking. He is going deep. And it is caught. It is caught down the far side of the field.
Ooh,
it is
Devontae
Smith for a touchdown.
That's Skinny
and
Batman.
The Eagles take the lead.
That's Skinny Batman.
Hurts in the gun. Swift behind him. Slot to the far side of the field. Eagles up 21-17. Hurts fires. Complete to A.J. Brown. Touchdown. He caught the ball at the two. Cut back and walked in.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
After trailing at the half, the Eagles begin the third quarter against the Cowboys with a deep shot to Devontae Smith. You hear the calls there with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick. Poor Merrill losing his voice there. Actually started out fairly strong at the beginning of the game, but as this went on, it just became harder and harder for him to get the words out. Pretty stutter step by Devontae to get behind the defense for a 29-yard catch. And that put the Eagles in front. The next drive, 87 yards, over 6 minutes. And it's this healthy mix of DeAndre Swift and A.J. Brown. Boy, does he bull rush people. He is a brute. And I do mean that as a compliment for a wide receiver. But it's A.J. who catches the touchdown or catches the ball and then barrels into the end zone for the touchdown. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This game had all of the makings of one of those classics that you love between the Cowboys and Eagles, and really the bitterest of rivals in the NFL. A lot of what you know about the team can go out the window because they know each other so well and there are no secrets. And it's just about who can execute. And as we heard from the Cowboys following the game, who can take advantage of the opportunities and get those extra inches. Yeah, so the Cowboys, they were keeping pace and had multiple opportunities late in this game to be able to force the issue down the stretch.
It's fourth down and a yard and a half. They will push no tushes. Shotgun fourth and goal. Snap back, looking left. To the goal line, the pass. It's caught for a touchdown. Right across the plane, and it's caught by Schoonmaker.
It's a big old tight end world, isn't it? Ferguson had one earlier, now it's Schoonmaker.
Well, the arms of the judge, the side judge over there in the corner, went right up. But this is going to be reviewed more than a Broadway play opening.
The left knee, when the left knee is down, Schoonmaker's down. And the ball has not crossed the goal line. I think this is going to be coming back.
That it did. And so right there, one of those opportunities where the Cowboys have to walk away with no points, inches away from that touchdown. They later do get a TD pass from Dak to Jalen Tolbert, 7 yards, but he steps out of bounds on the 2-point conversion before the ball crosses the plane. So right there, you've got points left on the board, not just the touchdown, but also the 2-point conversion at that juncture would have pulled them within 3. And so they're going for a field goal instead of a touchdown on their last couple possessions. Yeah, ultimately, the Eagles got the lead early in the third quarter, and they're able to protect it with that brute defense.
Prescott in the gun. Prescott. Into a long count. He takes the snap. He steps up. He fires. Incomplete. Incomplete.
No flags.
Intended for Tolbert on the near sideline.
No
and
flags.
The Eagles take over on downs.
Football is such an unbelievable game. There's highs. There's lows. And sometimes it brings you to tears of joy. Sometimes it brings you to tears. It's always a little cooler when you win against a really good football team, and the really good football team being Dallas. And I know that means a lot to our fans. Got a lot of respect for those players and coaches over there. It was a good battle back and forth, and it's cool to be, again, like I said, it's cool to be a part of that that rivalry.
What an incredible win! What an incredible. Sense of perseverance and resilience from this team. Still have yet to play the complete game. And we're so hungry and eager to continue to grow and build upon the things that we've been able to do.
Jalen Hurts, the bulky knee. So he got hit. It was DeMarcus Lawrence kind of rolled into him and his knee twisted a bit, and he looked like he was in a bunch of pain, but he didn't want to talk about it after. Shook it off. 243 total yards, 3 touchdowns, and the way that they can spread the ball around and use a variety of weapons is very impressive. Nick Sirianni before that talking about how this is another crazy game, another crazy win between Cowboys and Eagles. As for the Cowboys, another 10 penalty flags. They've got the turnover in there late that really made a difference. The Dalton Kincaid fumble, 5 sacks of Dak Prescott by the Eagles, And so even though they were over 400 yards of offense, they come up short.
Stating the obvious, it's a game of inches, and we came up, an inch or two short on a couple plays. But love the way our team plays. I love our play style. Give the Eagles credit. It's a great home environment here. Have a lot of appreciation for Jeff Lurie and what they've done here. So love to come here and compete, and we knew this was the kind of game it was going to be.
I always tell you guys, the margin of penalties and errors is so slim. I mean, we step out on the goal line, knee hits the ground before the goal line. Crucial penalties on drives that, we should have got off the field. It's a hard league to win in. And when you kind of beat yourselves on certain things and other factors don't help, it really hurts. So, I mean, we could take away the game that there was a chance we could have won. Either way you look at it, it was a close game. It was 50-50 toss-up. We had a chance to win there at the end, but we didn't. So we got to get back to the drawing board and get ready for next week.
Micah Parsons practicing for his podcast on Monday. It will be can't miss, of course, in the wake of Cowboys-Eagles. Whew, just getting started. By the way, Brad Sham on Cowboys radio. I listened to most of the game on the radio because the whole thing was not airing in my market, though a lot of it was on NFL Network, which made me very grateful. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. Coming up, a conversation about the Bengals. 4 games in a row now they've won. When did they get their groove back?
You are listening.
I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu, and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for?
Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to the After Hours Podcast.
They do a good job on defense, disguising coverages, giving us different looks, bringing pressures, and disguising those. So, you have to be ready to adjust and adapt on the fly. I mean, I thought we did that really well today.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Joe Burrow. The Bengals are back in rhythm and flow. 4 consecutive wins, 5 in a row against the Buffalo Bills. This game on Sunday Night Football, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Mike Petralia, Bengals insider from Cincinnati, has the Jungle Roar podcast. As we look big picture, Mike, when did the Bengals get their groove back?
Going into Arizona, they were 1-3, and they absolutely positively had to have a win because they knew that the rest of the division were winning their games. And I think, they obviously felt that to keep up pace with, the Clevelands, the Pittsburghs, and, of course, the Baltimores, they had to, at least pick up one win, and that would start to turn the tide a little bit. And as it turned out, they really got back on track in Arizona with the offense starting to click. And, certainly the Bengals defense is a character and the backbone of the team. But the Bengals are going to go as far as Joe Burrow takes them. And the reason the Arizona game, Amy, was significant and a turning point for this team was because that was the game we started to see Joe Burrow play like a healthy, closer to 100% Joe Burrow. Once that started to happen, I think there was a sense throughout the locker room that, now we can get on a roll. Now we can start playing the kind of football that we've come to expect of ourselves. And I think that's what you've seen over this 4-game winning streak is that the offense has gotten off to quick starts in each of the 4 wins. And that has really enabled them to kind of control the tempo in each of the 4 games.
Yeah, how important for them to finally figure out ways to score on their opening drives? Because as you point out, that had been missing. But that's what they've had in these past 4 games.
No question. And I think a lot of that is Joe Burrow's ability to read the defense early in games, dictate to the defense how he wants to run, the first, let's say, 15 scripted plays of the game. And he's done it at a very, very high level. You know, in the Seattle game, the offense kind of went to sleep for the last three quarters, and nobody here in the building was very happy about that. But you throw that game out, the second half of that game, and the Bengals have been very good offensively. They've been very efficient. And what you've seen in the San Francisco game last week and the Buffalo game tonight is the ability to close out. And good teams find ways to close out the opposition when, you know, Josh Allen finds Stephon Diggs, you know, for a touchdown late in the game with about 3.5 minutes to go. It's up to Joe Burrow to kill the clock, and that's what they were able to do.
Joe Mixon didn't have any real long runs. He was pretty close to breaking out a couple, but ends up with shy of 40 yards, even though he had 14 carries, had the one touchdown, but he was really important getting that last first down so they could run out the clock. But in terms of balance between run and pass, what's the goal with this Bengals offense?
Oh, I think you run enough so that they are not pinning their ears back and coming after Joe Burrow every single down. The low point for this team was the game in Tennessee where the Titans really zero blitzed Joe Burrow to death because he couldn't get out of the pocket because he wasn't fully healthy and the team did not want to take a chance and sign off on Burrow doing a lot of scrambling or, you know, darting to his left or right to avoid pressure. He was kind of a sitting duck back there. You know, with that in mind, they really couldn't get the running game going in that game either. When you can't move in the pocket and you can't get the running game going, you don't have much of a chance to get your offense on track. But since that game, you know, as I said, starting with Arizona, they've been able to start games, get the run game going. You know, the last couple of games, San Francisco and tonight against Buffalo, Burrow's been under center much more. And that's helped them as well in terms of getting the run game going downhill.
And you can certainly see that he's able to scramble now and avoid pressure and extend plays. That's clear now that he's healthy. We're excited to talk to Mike Petralia again. Actually, first time this season. So here we are at the midway point. Has the Jungle Roar podcast is a Cincinnati Bengals insider. And it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Pretty impressive the way the tight ends were able to rack up the catches and the yards on this particular night. Man, he really worked all of them into the offense.
10 catches, Amy, on 11 targets for 101 yards between Irv Smith Jr., Drew Sample, and Tanner Hudson. And, you know, a lot has been made around here of when is Joe Burrow going to get the tight ends involved? Or, you know, has Burrow forgotten about the tight ends? Did the tight ends even matter in this offense? And tonight we got the answer. Yes, they matter very much because what the Bills did was they shaded the safety over to Jamar Chase. They really weren't going to let Jamar Chase catch many balls tonight. He didn't. T. Higgins caught 8 passes for 110 yards, but he did a lot of damage in between the 20s. So it was up to the tight ends to really produce in the red zone, and that's what happened. You know, you saw Drew Sample actually just outside the red zone come up with what, Amy, I thought was the biggest touchdown of the game right before halftime. Buffalo's hanging in there, just trailing 14-7, and the Bengals forced a punt from the Bills, and they got the ball on a short field, 46 yards, and the 22-yard touchdown run after the catch from Drew Sample really changed the tenor of this game quite a bit as the Bengals led 14 points going into halftime.
Also win the turnover battle. So they are turnover free, but a couple, including one late that really made a difference for the Bills. So you mentioned the Bengals defense. Of course, they're not going to get the same attention as Joe Burrow in the offense, but what makes them tick?
Well, that's a great question. And I think Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, makes them tick. He's a Staten Island guy with a New York attitude, and he's not afraid to show it to his players, good and bad. I mean, he knows how to motivate the players. And I was talking to Jermaine Pratt after the game, you know, about that turnover that he helped create, that he punched the ball loose from Dalton Kincaid. And he's like, Lou is going to get on us from start to finish in terms of every game, making sure we are trying everything in our power to create turnovers. And in the last 4 games, they've created 8 turnovers, 7 interceptions, and the one fumble tonight, forced fumble. And those are huge plays if you can get them. And Lou Anarumo, by the way, has a great bond with Jermaine Pratt, as Jermaine Pratt was really the first draft pick to be selected as a defensive player in the Lou Anarumo, Zach Taylor era.
How much does it matter that they have won five in a row against the Bills?
I think it does matter because, you know, whether it was in the playoffs, in the snow last year, even in the game in which DeMar Hamlin, you know, had the event, the medical emergency on the field, they stopped that game. The Bengals were having their way early in that game. They were up 7-3. Kind of had that feel tonight early on as well. It was 14-7. And then the playoff game, and then tonight, I think games like this matter when you know that you're going to probably have to go through a team like Cincinnati or Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl. And I think with the Bengals exercising that kind of confidence over an opponent like Buffalo, I think it's a big deal.
Mike Petrelli is with us in Cincinnati after a Sunday night football win for the Bengals. They're now above 500. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Did the confidence waver at all after they started slow for a second straight year, Mike?
I'm going to hedge my bets and say not really. No, because they did it last year and they brought back a team that was built to really get back to the Super Bowl and win it this year. They knew how good they were, right? I think that's the best way to answer it. The Bengals knew how good they were. Were they capable of playing to that level? Well, you know, I saw it all those years in New England. The Patriots would spend the first month figuring out what their strengths are and figuring out what their weaknesses were and stay away from those and play to our strengths. That's very similar to what I have seen from the Bengals the last 2 years. And even going back to 2021, they played the same way. But the Bengals know their talent very well. I would say that about Zach Taylor and Duke Tobin, the director of personnel. They know what they have here, and they just are patient in terms of letting the team play to that skill level.
Let's talk about the schedule a little bit. They haven't faced any AFC North opponents since the first two games of the year that were both losses against Cleveland and Baltimore. What stands out to you about the AFC North at this point, midway through, Mike?
It's a black and blue division, Amy, and I think that appeals to the Bengals because I think they think their quarterback is a true separator. If Burrow is healthy, and that even includes maybe Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's a different type of quarterback, but I think the Bengals like their chances if you put Joe Burrow up against Kenny Pickett or even Deshaun Watson. I know Watson, you know, played pretty well today against Arizona, but I think, you know, Burrow is the separator, and that's what I've, you know, felt all along about, you know, the Bengals in the AFC North. If they hang around long enough in the season and don't shoot themselves in the foot, I think they feel confident that they can beat any team, any place, any time.
Very much prepares these teams to be ready for the playoffs.
Well, you know, what's also amazing, Amy, right now as we're speaking, all four teams are in playoff position in the AFC North. It's a pretty remarkable occurrence given that we've 9 weeks through the NFL season. Yes, we have, you know, a little under half of the NFL's schedule to be played, but still, that's a remarkable testament to a division that Zach Taylor, every time he talked about the AFC North, called it the best division in football, hands down. And that was, you know, at the start of training camp. He said that through training camp. He said that through preseason and even at the start of the season when they played in Cleveland. And, you know, Zach Taylor must have known something because the division is playing at a very high level.
All four teams above 500. Okay, so before I let you go, Mike, how would you describe the atmosphere, the attitude post-game after their fourth straight win?
Low-key, but very optimistic. Optimistic because I think the team feels like they're starting to really play to their level. And as long as they feel like they're playing to their level, they feel they are a championship-caliber team. But that being said, they are very focused on Houston this week because they know what's ahead of them on a short week after Houston.
Mike Petrelli from Cincinnati, longtime friend of mine, so I always appreciate having him on the show. You want to check out the Jungle Roar podcast. It's on YouTube and on Twitter at Trags, T-R-A-G-S. Great to connect with you. Bengals are red hot, so we might have to do it again soon. Thanks so much, Mike.
I would look forward to it, Amy. Thank you.
It is hard to believe that we are into week 9 now with just one game left. And that means we'll be exactly halfway through the NFL regular season. Whew, it is flying. I hope you enjoyed your weekend. We've got 1 hour down coming up in the AFC North. Everyone's looking up at the Ravens. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.
This holiday season, ask for concert and comedy tickets. Create your wish list at LiveNation.com. Choose from thousands of the hottest shows, including Chelsea Handler, Doja Cat, Jonas Brothers, New Kids on the Block, Niall Horan, Tim McGraw, and more. Just sign in, add your favorite shows, and send a helpful hint to family and friends. It's never been easier to get what you want. An unforgettable night out with your favorite artists. Create your wish list today at LiveNation.com/wishlist.